Do I have to forgive someone who doesn't want me to? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and welcome again, Pete.
Happy Friday.
Same to you, and I appreciate you taking your time coming in and doing this.
Dear.
We love getting here. Pete comes in. He's my pastor each Friday, and we answer questions during the entire broadcast. If you'd like a question answered, you do need to write it down. Send it to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. You can email us at steve@keylife.org. With your regular mailing address if you want a response. And you always do get a response from me or a staff person or on the broadcast or in the magazine. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can become a part of our Key Life Tape family, get the magazine free or the booklet free or a variety of other items, or make a contribution. But you got to write your question down. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these questions.
Good idea. So, our Father, we come to you today with a week almost gone, grateful that we're your children and glad that we can pray, because, Father, we cannot do all that needs to be done. We can't be good. We can't be kind. We can't be loving. We can't be right. But you are all of those things, and so we come to you as your children. We thank you for Christ. We thank you that you made a provision for us to have our sins removed and the shame begin to fade away in our lives because of what he did for us. We're grateful that you adopted us and made us your daughters and sons, and that you hold on to us so tightly, and that you'll never let us go, and nobody could ever take us away from you. We honor you, and today, even though the week's been long and hard, we honor you. We're glad that we're yours. And we look forward to worship. Lord, we get more of a time to, in the quietness of our heart, focus on you. And, Lord, so we look forward to that this weekend. And we pray for our leaders who are going to stand in front of us, lead us to give praise and honor, and then teach us from the Bible. And we pray that, Lord, you would open our hearts to what message you're going to give them that we will hear. Give them the ability to be strong and firm, but gracious, kind, and true to your word. And Lord, make us learners and listeners. We ask you to be with Key Life in this ministry. Bless Steve, and may others come to know how good you are through the unique gift that you've given to him. So we commit our time to you now and these questions as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pete, you want to say some more? We were talking last Friday. Somebody had written and said, when we die, we go to heaven right away. And I went off on that time thing, that we're outside of time and time is no longer relevant. And then you said, maybe after we had turned the microphones off, you know, I think too literally to grasp that. That's not where I am. So I want you to speak to that, because what I'm saying is surmise. And I could be way off. Who knows? I got the idea from C.S. Lewis. And that's, if I were going to open the canon of Scripture, I'd put Lewis in there, too.
and I'm the last one that's going to say, no, Lewis is wrong.
Yeah. And listen, that's a joke, guys. I really wouldn't put Lewis up with the canon of Scripture. No. But yeah, talk about that. Talk about it from a traditional Orthodox kind of viewpoint.
If you look at Scripture from a linear standpoint, kind of as we take Scripture, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, so that when we die, we go to be with him. But yet, 1 Thessalonians tells us that we don't receive our resurrection body until the second coming of Christ. And so theologians have traditionally talked about what's called the intermediate state, that when you die as a Christian, you go to be with him. And I think that's what is going on in Revelation, when the author keeps going back and forth from the earth to heaven, where he says, yeah, Christians are suffering, but then he jumps back to heaven and he says, I see the souls of those who are beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. And so that hope is that when we die, we go to be with him immediately, and we get our resurrection body when Jesus returns the second time. However, that's from the human standpoint. What you were bringing in was more of the divine.
Just trying to reconcile those.
Yeah.
And I can buy what you just said. I mean, because I think that makes sense to me as a linear person, a person that thinks of past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you tell the... Were you the one who told the story about the guy who came before St. Peter? Peter said, did you do anything to get into heaven? And he thought and thought. He said, yeah, I did. Said there was this motorcycle guy that was beating up on this little woman, and I pulled my car off to the side, ran up to this guy, smacked him in the face. He said, no kidding, Peter said, you did that. Well, when did that happen? And he looked at his watch and said, about a minute and 32 seconds ago. So the absence of the body to be present with the one.
That's right.
I think you told that story.
You have a good memory. No, that's good. Because I didn't remember it. So.
This is from North Carolina. Are we as Christians called to forgive others even if they do not want to receive it or to move towards reconciliation?
What's the short answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. But there's some that would differ with you, but you're right. I think you're right. Next question.
Yeah. I don't think there are addendums in Scripture that say, you know, if this person comes, you know, if you don't forgive people, of course, Jesus said, I'm not talking about those who don't want to be forgiven. I'm talking about only those who come to you. Jesus didn't put any exception in that.
No, you're right.
And I think that's a cop-out. I think people who want to be angry, who do not want to forgive, who want to hold that to their heart until they have a root of bitterness, generally teach that you don't have to forgive unless they repent.
Yeah, I think you're right. And yet, look at the Lord's Prayer that is really the disciples' prayer, kind of a model prayer. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So there's this presupposition that a part of the flow of the life of a believer is that we're going to be asking for forgiveness of a lot, and we're going to be giving it a lot. It doesn't say anything about, you know, when somebody asks you.
No, and I think we're playing fast and loose and trying to find the loophole in Scripture with that. Now, with that being said, is it easy to forgive?
You know, it's not. And I think, for me, forgiveness is a progressive thing. We've talked about things where we've both been hurt in life, and you've said, you know, I've really forgiven that guy. But you prayed hard.
Yeah.
You really worked it through. You really kind of examined your own motives, and I've had to do the same thing.
Yeah. And sometimes you think you've got it settled, and it rears up and bites you again.
Comes back.
So it's a process, and I don't think God requires that you be at the end of the process when you're at the beginning of it. But I think we're called to forgive, and depending on how bad that which was done to us really was, that's how easy it is to forgive.
Yeah, that's right. And I think some temperaments have an easier time at forgiveness. You know, the type A choleric kind of guys, you know, I mean, it's going to be very cold in a hot place before I forgive.
Right.
What do you think about this? Jesus says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive you, but if you do not forgive, you won't be forgiven.
I think he's not making a work salvation statement that your salvation is dependent on whether or not you forgive. But I think he's making a statement that the very essence of the Christian faith is to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I agree with you.
And if that, I mean, it's like saying if you jump in a swimming pool, are you going to get wet? The response to that is, because it's the very nature of the Christian faith, is that I'm going around not forgiving. That probably means I haven't been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of the principles, as you know, because you teach it too, with the Born Free Seminar, is that guilty people make people feel guilty, and you can discern how guilty a person is by how guilty you feel in their presence.
Oh, that is so true.
And it's relevant to this, too, I think. So.
And I've been there. I've felt guilty, and I make people feel guilty.
Oh, me too.
I was pretty good at it.
Yeah, but I'm better. In fact, I'm almost perfect. You're very fortunate.
No doubt.
Is God a God of justice? This is from Minnesota. Is God a God of justice? No, Michigan, I'm sorry. Is justice ever accomplished while we're here on earth?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, my take on Revelation is, speaking of linear and nonlinear, I don't take it as a purely linear book. I think there's cycles in it. And I think that the cycles show the judgments of God down through history.
Yep.
And it helps explain a lot of things if you understand that there's not just one final judgment, but there are progressive judgments throughout history.
And God is just.
And God is absolutely right.
And if you don't know Christ, he's totally just.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in trouble.
That's right. That's how you start the, you know, the Born Free seminar. We've got some good news and some bad news. You know, and the bad news is if we're sinners, God will judge. And he will. And I think that the church needs to not be afraid to say that message. Grace is only grace when you understand that he prefers to forgive.
Yeah. And mercy and justice met on Calvary.
Mm, absolutely.
That's good. Yeah, justice is meted out every day. This is good. Email. I've never thought about this. Does the Bible address the issue of organ donation once we die?
Oh, man. You know, I can't think of it addressing it at all because people back then
didn't know about it.
They were buried the same day or same day, probably the next day. And there weren't any uses.
You know, people say if you believe in the resurrection of the body, what's going to happen if you come back without a lung or a heart or eyes? That's not a doctrine, is it?
No, I don't think the resurrection is a molecule by molecule resurrection. It's a supernatural work of God.
Yeah. So I think organ donation is a wonderful thing. I think for people.
Yeah.
To think about that.
I don't know why anybody on my license. Don't you have it on your license, you know?
Can you do that? I didn't know that. I keep saying I'm going to do something about it. So maybe I don't know why anybody wants these old eyes anyway. I can't smell anymore. I only chase girls downhill.
they can have whatever they want.
Because I will have no use for it.
I suppose the principle on selflessness and love for other people are two general principles that kind of apply to this pretty complex issue of organ donation.
Yeah, it really is. And it's
the resurrection. There'd be a third one.
Sure.
Resurrection too.
Sure. But there's no absolute direct teaching in the Bible on that.
No, but I know.
Well, we're out of time.
Oh,
wise when you're having fun.
It's been good. It's been good.
You come back here Friday.
Thousands have been saved this week, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. And hundreds of thousands of people. Hey, guys, whenever you're right or call, do give us the call letters of this great station. We'd love to hear from you whenever you write, and we got to go. But first, I must say that Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.